The following paid program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Joseph Prince Ministries. Today with Joseph Prince.
In God's economy, it is actually our weakness that we have to boast about. Where there's no weakness, God's power, God's grace cannot flow. Grace is not attracted to your strength. It is attracted to your weakness. Stop trying to be strong in and of yourself. With man, we put our best foot forward. With God, put your worst foot forward in front of Him and tell Him, this is what I am. I have this nervousness. I have this propensity to worry. I have this propensity to fall sick. I have this propensity to this, whatever it is. Don't hide it from God. Come to God as you are. Amen. And know this, that His miracle working power is made complete, has expression to flow and make complete like water through the pipe in your weakness, not in your strength. It's God's way of saying, your past does not determine your future with me. The world says a bird with a broken wing can never fly as high again. God says that bird will fly higher. And that wing that was broken will be stronger than the other wing that was never broken. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, welcome yourself. All right, so find at least three persons around you. Say something good to them. Praise the Lord. Tell them, like, in the next 3 hours, we're going to have a great time. Praise the Lord. John 1:16, and of His fullness, or out of His abundance, out of His vast resources, out of His fullness, we have all received. Say, we have all received grace for grace. Now, this word grace is unmerited favor. Grace for grace is very interesting. It's grace anti-grace. What does that mean? Grace, we have out of His fullness, we've all received grace anti-grace. Remember, the word anti is not just against. In place of. If you look at the definition in your dictionary and all that, you'll find it is not just against. We have this idea, anti means against. Anti. The word for is anti, grace, anti-grace, which means after one wave comes, in place of that wave that just came, you have not exhausted the grace. There's another fresh grace that comes. There's another fresh grace that comes in place of the grace that came earlier. Amen? And God's grace is inexhaustible. Come on, amen. Smile your neighbor and say, it's coming your way. Smile, amen? So how do you stop it? How do you hinder it? How do you restrict that grace? By believing wrong, by trying to make that grace flow. Now, let me just tell you this, the more you try to make the grace flow, and you'll be surprised how we do these kind of things. There's grace in that area and we spoil it by getting too desperate, or we, you know, let me just say this kindly, okay, and hopefully it's accurate enough for you to not misunderstand me. Sometimes prayer becomes wrong. When your prayer is desperate, it is frustrating the grace of God. Do you know there's a time Moses called to the Lord in front of the Red Sea? He cried to the Lord. Why did God answer like this? Why do you cry to me? Move the people ahead. There's a time to move. The grace is there already. Amen. And there's a time to pray. Amen. Are you all listening, people? There's a time to move. There's a time for us to. The grace is there. Amen. Flow with it. Amen. Prayer can be an excuse. Father, shall I pray for this person, Lord? I know I have the compassion for this person. I can see the person is suffering, and I don't want to pray and nothing happens. Lord, give me a sign. Lord, speak to me, Lord. That prayer is unnecessary. Amen. So many times you pray for the person. That's when your prayer becomes, Lord, I thank you, Lord. Even right now, you are touching the person. If you see that supply is already there, your prayer is just affirming, declaring, decreeing the supply that's already flowing. It becomes easy. Galatians 3 says, God who ministereth to you the Spirit. And the word ministereth in the Greek is ever constantly supplying you the Spirit. Many years ago, I attended a church that I grew up in my teenage years. And that church taught you that you can leak and the Holy Spirit can lead your life. You are a leaking Christian. Have you heard that before? You need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. But then I found out in Galatians 3, much later, that God always constantly supplies you the Spirit. In the Greek, it's a constant supply. Even right now, He's supplying you the Spirit. Can you imagine when you pray for the sick, you realize that all this abundance is with you? As opposed to coming to a person and say, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And even your desperate kind of like tone and all that, nothing wrong with loud prayers, but it is proceeding from a posture of desperateness and crying to God to do something that He's already doing. It is not faith. Okay? So grace in place of grace, in place of grace, in place of favor, in place of favor that gone on before, in place of favor. It's a constant supply of favor in your life. And that goes in your area of your job, your ministry, your relationships, your own body, amen. The very area that has pain, trust me, we saw last week where sin increased, grace superabounds. Location, location, location. Where sin increased, grace superabounds. Amen. Where sin increased, grace superabounds. We saw in the life of David, where did sin increase? Well, in the area of his sin with Bathsheba, right? Right? Am I right? Amen. Now, how many know sin is wrong? Sin is evil. Sin will destroy. Sin will cause you to go further than you want to go, and keep you longer than you want to stay, and will cost you more than you want to pay. Always remember that. So sin is destructive. We all know that. But thanks be to God. With God, sin is not your final destiny. It does not define you. Where sin increased, grace superabounds. If we but have eyes to see by faith, the grace, the superabounding grace in that area, not because, all right, of the sin, but because we have sinned, not because, oh, let's sin more that grace may abound. Paul never taught that, but Paul did teach where sin increased, grace superabounds. So in David's case, it was that sin with Bathsheba. And David has many wives and concubines and many sons, 19 sons, one daughter of different wives. When the time came to succeed him, of all the sons, God chose Solomon. Wow. Solomon came from, of all the wives, came from that woman, Bathsheba. It's God's way of saying, your past does not determine your future with me. The world says, a bird with a broken wing can never fly as high again. God says, that bird will fly higher. And that wing that was broken will be stronger than the other wing that was never broken. Now, if you conclude, like what they conclude when Paul preached like this, let us break our hands so they become stronger. Paul never taught that. They accused Paul of saying that. It's interesting that nowadays no one accuses us of that except for grace preachers. We are on the right track with Paul. But where sin increased, grace superabounds. We saw last week also that the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1, the women that are mentioned there are not illustrious women. It's not Rebecca, it's not Rachel, it's not Sarah, but women like Tamar, who slept with her father-in-law, women like Rahab, the prostitute of Jericho, their names are mentioned in the genealogy. It's God's way of saying again. And from that genealogy came the Messiah, the Savior of the world. God is saying, with all your mess, trust, my grace is greater than the messes in your life. Amen, people? Amen? Does that help you? Now, today we go further. We want to step further and study how this grace can be increased. And if you look at the Apostle Paul, I want you to be very, very clear about what Paul is saying here. All right? Please don't try to read over or just gloss over. Really hear what he's saying. Paul had a condition, not in his body. All right? This is a messenger of Satan that was attacking Paul. Wherever Paul went, he would stir up the crowd. Paul preached the gospel of grace and he got in trouble, especially with those who believe that the law is the way you are justified by. You must keep the law to be blessed. You must keep the law to be holy. You must keep the law, all right? So this law, Judaizers, were the ones that pursued Paul in almost every city. Paul's biggest problem was these people. And actually, they didn't realize, these people didn't realize that it was a messenger of Satan that was stirring them to come against Paul. So Paul prayed to the Lord, and Paul said, this is like a thorn in the flesh. This messenger of Satan, everywhere I go, is following me. God, do something about it. Then the Lord answered, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he said to me, God said to me, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. People, look up here. My grace is. Today. What date is it today? 22nd? 23rd? All right? 23rd. I don't know, give a time location for our viewers, because they might think, oh, this message is old, 10 years from now. So we'll stop there. Today, this very moment, it still is. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need. In other words, my grace is all you need. Regardless of the problems, regardless of the nature of the challenges you face, it might have a different nature. It might be a sickness. It might be a family conflict. It might be a rebellious teenager. It might be something that is causing you to stay up awake at night, concerned, worried. But I'm here to tell you the answer is the same. My grace is sufficient for you. And then God says something that's profound. Let's not pretend to understand if we don't understand, but let's seek to really understand. Can you understand this? For my strength, the reason because my strength, and this word strength is dunamis, dynamite. My strength, and by the way, dynamite, check it out, it's the miraculous working power of God. Whenever the New Testament talks about miracles, by this man was wrought many miracles, Jesus, the carpenter, they say that by this hand was done miracles. Miracles, there's dunamis. Same word here. My miraculous, my miracle working power is made perfect or complete in weakness. Where there's no weakness, God's power, God's grace cannot flow. Grace is not attracted to your strength. It is attracted to your weakness. Stop trying to be strong in and of yourself. With man, we put our best foot forward. With God, put your worst foot forward in front of Him and tell Him, this is what I am. I have this nervousness. I have this propensity to worry. I have this propensity to fall sick. I have this propensity to this, whatever it is. Don't hide it from God. Come to God as you are. Amen. And know this, that His miracle working power is made complete, has expression to flow and make complete like water through the pipe in your weakness, not in your strength. Get this revelation. In my case, as a teenager, not as a young boy, not in kindergarten, as a teenager in secondary school or high school, for our friends in America, when I was in high school, I was a stammerer. I was a stutterer. There would be a teacher that comes in and asked me to stand up to read, and he would be laughing openly when my ears turned red and I stutter just to read. And then the girls in the class would start laughing. You know, at that age, you know, as a teenager, you are very sensitive. And girls can be cruel. They choose the guys who are athletic, with muscles, like Pastor Lawrence. And they don't look twice your way, right? And some of you girls are the ones doing that. Guilty, amen. And then, you know, you feel so sensitive, right? Girls start laughing. My ears turn red. If my ears turn red, they laugh even louder. And the teacher would laugh. And the same teacher would always ask me to get up and read for the sheer pleasure of seeing that happen. I don't know why I'm stuttering. And the more I'm worried about my stuttering, the more I stuttered. And I prayed to God. I was a believer then. I said, God, please. I prayed desperate prayers. Please, God. Please. Please, Lord, do something about this. Please do something. I don't know how I stumbled somehow. It's like God is saying, all right, don't worry about this. This is part of you so that my power will be seen in that very area. You see, for Pastor Lawrence, it is here. All right? For me, it is here. Amen? And also here. All right? For Pastor Lawrence, it's over here. All right? Here and here. Yeah, come on, church. Hallelujah. All right? Encourage me and discourage Pastor Lawrence. That's right. That's right. Yeah. He's right here. He's sitting right here. Amen. Look at him. Looking good. Looking good. All right. That's how to be angry in a civilized way. Okay. All right. And now the very mouth that started, that very mouth that caused me shame, untold shame and days upon days of embarrassment and hiding from people, being reticent, being an introvert in secondary school, is the mouth, by the grace of God, truly is by the grace of God, is the mouth that has transformed probably millions of lives. That's what I know the reach is. Okay, so we give God all the glory. And again, there's nothing to boast. You cannot boast. You can only boast in your weakness, right? If it's something of your strength in the natural, then you can boast. And that's why Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, this is radical. Therefore, most gladly, number one, most gladly is used. It's a very seldom used word in the Greek. Most gladly is one word. Most gladly, I would rather boast in what? People boast like, you know, when they meet their friends and all that. I just want to let you know that my son got admission in RI. Praise God. Yeah, you know, yeah. I just want to tell you, we boast about, and it's nothing wrong with that, okay? I mean, RI is a great school, okay? I'm just saying that when we meet people or we talk in our social interaction, in the flesh, all right, we talk about our strength. We talk about what is great. Jesus, on the other hand, in order to comfort his disciples when they were fearful, he stepped in the upper room in his resurrected form when he rose from the dead, and he says, peace. It wasn't enough. He had to show them his wounds. He had to show them his scars. I'm one of you. I suffered too. And what a suffering. And I want to know that you sat where I sat before you can minister to me. I want to know that you have the same problem as I do. A lady lost a child. A minister came and gave all the verses about heaven and about the child. The lady wasn't comforted. Another person came, say something, you know, along the same lines. Another person came to visit. And finally, a lady came who also lost a child before. And she just wept on this lady's neck. And this lady wept. Both of them wept. And she said later on that of all the people, that lady ministered to her. You see, friend, let me just tell you this. In God's economy, it is actually our weakness that we have to boast about. So what is your weakness? Are you shy? Are you fearful type? Are you the nervous, anxious type? Have you ever gloried in it? You're crazy, Pastor Prince. But it's not me who's crazy. It is the apostle. It's not that he's crazy, but look at what he says. Most gladly, I would rather boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, infirmities here is the same word used for athanasia. Word "a" is there, which means it negates whatever word is there. There's no strength. An inability, okay? Athanasia. There's an inability in your area. Paul says, I take pleasure. Now, this is really radical. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. Aha! In reproaches, when people insult you, when people say things about you. Now, it's one thing to endure it. Boy, take pleasure. Are we there yet? Amen. Why? There must be a revelation Paul has. Just like the revelation of where sin increased, grace superabounds. Paul has a revelation that is in the area of your negatives that God's pluses can manifest. And he says, by the way, before I go on, therefore, look at the verse 9, the last part again. Most gladly I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This word power of Christ, again, the word power is dunamis. The miraculous power of Christ will rest upon me is the word tabernacle. Tabernacle over. Epi. All right, the word epi is the power of Christ on you. Now, listen, people, not everyone has the power of Christ tabernacling over them. We have Christ in us. We have the Spirit within. But the Spirit upon comes to do a task for God. to do something for God. Every time, we pray for the sick and all that, and all of a sudden there's a result, it's because the Spirit of God has come on the minister. Amen? And when the Spirit comes, the Spirit upon does not abide. He comes and he leaves. But the Spirit within for guidance every day, the Spirit within is always there forever. He is talking about over, epi, over. When I rejoice in my weakness, the power of Christ pitch a tent over me. It tabernacle. The word epi, tabernacle actually. The word tabernacle is used. A place of divine protection. No matter what comes my way, I'm actually under the tabernacle. When I rejoice in my weaknesses. When someone insults me, write bad things about me, I say, joy number two today. Joy number three. All right? The power of Christ comes on me. And that insult, that reproach cannot hurt me. Now, you can become radical with this thing. Grace will abound. And then not only that, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, the thing about growth, spiritual growth is this. People think that when you grow in the Lord, you become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until your faith doesn't waver. You feel the energy, the spiritual energy of faith in your heart. You know that 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 you know. Man, you can look at this person, all right? You can see his spiritual muscles bulging. His 8-pack has a 9-pack, a 9 on there. Amen? Do you know what I'm saying about? You know what I'm talking about. All right? So, right, Lawrence? 9-pack. We think that that's growth. Actually, growth is when you see more and more your faults. You see more and more your failures. You see more and more your shortcomings. You see more and more than ever before. But you don't just see that. In addition, you see more and more God's favor in all those areas. God, you see more and more God's goodness. So in spite of the fact you're conscious of your weaknesses more and more, you are more conscious of Jesus and his wonderful presence in your life. You are more conscious of how dependent you are on him. You are more conscious of his supply coming your way. That is growth. It is not just this positive thing. It is actually increasing I thought I was a Christian. How many? I'm a 15-year Christian. I'm a 20-year Christian. And yet, I have these thoughts. Yet, I have these things. That is growth. Those things were there all the time. You didn't see it. Now you see it because you are growing. But don't stay in the negative. Go to the positive. While you are conscious of this, rely more and more. Rely more and more. Confess I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Therefore, that confession, the writing of God in Christ, is never about you in the flesh. It's about who you are and who God has made you in his eyes. Somehow, we have this idea that, you know, when we learn about faith, is that this is who you are, you don't have any weakness. At least the impression sometimes that's left behind is this. This is your new identity and all that. But God left us with the flesh. Why do you think God left us with the flesh? In fact, God could just not let us have a flesh. Less problems, right? But God left us with the flesh. Why? The flesh is always there to remind us we need him. Amen. And one day we'll have no flesh, we'll have a glorified body. Praise the Lord. And all the people said, amen.
Dear friends, as we enter a brand new year, I'm praying for you that 2018 will be your best year yet. Let's begin the new year remembering that God has called you to live a life of rest and not a life of stress. He doesn't want you to go through life rushed, worried, and anxious. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Everything you will ever need, divine health, victory in your Christian walk, success in your career, and blessed family relationships have all been provided for in Christ. Today, I want to help you learn how to live in God's rest with a special resource titled, Just Rest. Stop struggling to please God. I believe that as you listen to this series, you will catch a revelation of God's heart for you that will change the way you face your challenges. Beloved, I speak our Lord's shalom peace over your life as you rest in Him. God bless you.